If you want to support the show, any of the shows, either this or whichever show, I'm not on right now because this is just a blanket ad for all of them, and the website, you can go to bewareofspoilers, .com. In the description for any of the episodes of Beware of Spoilers, there is the option to donate. If you don't want to donate that way, you can donate directly through the website. We do have that, mwpnews.com. And if you don't want to support that way, then going to mwpnews.com will help out because we have ads there. We don't want to keep it, where there's a lot of ads. There's a few ads. But the point is, we want to make it so that way, we can sustain this for the long term. If people donate, we're never going to paywall anything, I don't think, as of right now. But if people, if people start donating, we'll start doing cooler and cooler stuff. Like donations are how we get to cover stuff like Tribeca and other, film festivals. And, we may be able to bring on more people to help out. So if you want to help out the show and you want more content from us, by all means, even just going and giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify helps out a lot. But that's it. That's the only ad we'll have on the podcast ever. But here's whatever podcast you're going to be listening to. Good morning and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. And usually I do this immediately after watching the movie, not the next morning, but we had a technical glitch yesterday, which led to some not quite fun, cursing in the car. So the app crashed as I was finishing the recording and lost the whole thing. So we're gonna do back to black today, based on what I saw last night. And I think the issue is with this, when we talk about trends from the 2010s, we talk about a lot about the expanded universe. The everything needs a universe. We need a universe of superheroes. We need a universe of Star Wars. We need a Star Trek universe. We're gonna take these franchises and blow them out in a way so that way we can just continually do stuff in them. And it's one of those things where it's like, this has even gone into television. If you watch a television show now, the show usually ends, if it has a planned ending, in such a way that it can be picked up down the line in a future revival. And the point of this is so that way they can, just continue the show years down the line, bank on the nostalgia and do it that way. And the trend that is really more, let's repackage, let's distill and package nostalgia. Let's sell you what you like, what we know you like, and put that into, and put that on screen. And that's how we carry over into now, where it's like, yeah, the comic book movie is kind of faltering in a way. I don't think this is gonna be a permanent thing. I think we will get to a point where the comic book movie restores itself. Because the thing is, we just had a few high profile. We're not gonna get into that here. It's just revisionist history is what it is, and the idea that the what's going on here, the what was it? The other thing that came from this is the music biopic, which really hit its stride in the mid-2010s. I mean, there were earlier ones. There's like Crazy Heart, there's Walk the Line. Music biopic is nothing new. It's not a new movie. It's just a, it's we've perfected the formula now, to an extent, or so we thought. And that's where we are with Back to Black, which is we're gonna take the story of Amy Winehouse and do a similar thing and hope for the best. That's not to say that this movie is good. That's not to say the movie is terrible. I think this is a perfectly, quote-unquote, mid-movie. This is a movie that is just perfectly average. It doesn't aspire to anything greater. There's no point where you're watching it and you're like, oh, that's a cool directorial flair, that's a cool, you know. It feels formulaic in just about every conceivable way. It feels like it is designed to, not, I don't want to say sell a product, because that feels dismissive, because you see what the subject matter is. It feels like someone who is coming out of film school and seeing all the things that other directors are doing and trying to put as much of that into one movie at once. Like, if they told me that this movie was written and directed by AI, I would not have been shocked. Because of how I mean, it'd be a good AI, don't get me wrong. This is not, like, a shitty AI that would have done this. This would have been a very good AI. Because it puts things in the right spot. But I don't think enough of them land. Because it's like, when we talked about Marlowe last year, which was the Liam Neeson Marlowe movie, we talked about how it's trying to play into the tropes of film noir. And we've seen movies do this recently and do it successfully. Nightmare Alley, and then what was the other big one that came out fairly recently? The Batman. Like, sorry, we have a convoy of fire trucks. What the fuck is going on? Hopefully it's nothing bad. Like, it tries to lead into these tropes, and it tries to lead into these things that are identifiable for the genre, but because there's apparently a fundamental lack of understanding of what it is that actually makes that, you know, make that work as a movie, it does get, you know, you do get bogged down in this moment of, like, well, why are you doing this? Like, what's the end goal of using this shot where it's a GoPro attached to a harness on her, and it's recording it in that, you know, very close shot of her, like, you know, of her, like, trying to run away from the paparazzi, and it's things like that where it's like, It touches on a lot of interesting questions. It touches on a lot of things that are like, oh, that could be explored deeper. The impact of fame. The fundamental question of, this is a lot of ambulances and fire trucks. Something bad happened. And it is the fundamental questions there that don't really get addressed. It's like her grappling with her bulimia. I'm reminded of Bohemian Rhapsody, which, like, went out of its way to not make, to downplay the debauchery that went into, that was Freddie Mercury's life. And kind of the same thing with, what's it called? With, you know, when they deal with Eazy-E's diagnosis in Straight Outta Compton. It's this idea, we're going to downplay that, but there's more there. Fundamentally, this movie is about a girl with, a woman with severe alcohol issues who loses that battle. And ultimately, I don't feel like it does enough to make me feel like, you know, I know her any better now than I did walking into the theater. And that is fundamentally a problem. Like, that is fundamentally a problem that needs to be addressed, you know, in this thing. And a lot of this comes from the fact that, like, there's a moment very early on that kind of illustrates every issue with this movie all at once. And it is the fact that they do not say what the main character's name is for about a half hour into the movie, give or take. I didn't have my watch on. But it is a long time before they say who the main character's name is. And I'm just like, that's a pretty key piece of information to not have given at this point. That's a pretty key piece of information to have not been, you know, handled. And it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like there was definitely, you know, fundamentally the question that I have with this is, would this movie have been made in its current form if it was not about Amy Winehouse? If this was a movie about just another pop star, like, not another pop star, like someone real, like, if this was a fictitious account of a pop star telling this exact script, would this movie have been made? I think fundamentally the answer is no, and I think that to an extent when we're dealing with an established quote-unquote IP, in this case Amy Winehouse, we are willing to put up with a lesser product. I mean, we, the studio, is willing to put up with a lesser product because the more important thing is delivering a end result about the subject that, I don't know, it, like, this is not flattering, this movie, towards her. It's not like, you know, you're like, oh, well, you know, she, you know, like, it downplays some of the more questionable aspects, like, you know, we would consider her now a domestic abuser. And if, like, that was one of the things that struck me in the movie, is that it's like, the way that, like, her alcoholism is played, and the way that she gets drunk and then assaults her husband several times. Like, it's a recurring thing throughout the movie where it's like she gets drunk and assaults her husband and boyfriend. And it's like, if this was a movie about I thought about Star Is Born, where in A Star Is Born, I haven't seen the 1970 whatever one with Barbara Streisand. I've seen the Judy Garland, and I've seen the, what's the other one, the Janet Gaynor ones, the original, and then the first remake in 1954. So, like, the point I'm trying to make is, like, we see this, and that is something where it's like, you know, when they remade it in 2018 with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, they adjusted, because having him go up on stage at the Grammys and slap her would have been a bridge too far. And I'm not one of those guys, like, where it's like, you know, feigning, hey, we need equality or anything like that. Like, that's like, well, why is it okay? Like, but here's the thing, is that it's like, in this movie, they are minimizing domestic abuse. Like, they are, like, the abuse that she levies on her husband is minimized in this movie. And done in a way where it's like, she's almost a victim. And that's the thing. Like, this is a woman who had demons, and she had to fight those demons all her life. If you want to do an honest portrayal of that and not shy away from that, that's fine. But you can't whitewash aspects of it in an effort to make the subject look better. At that point, it just seems disingenuous. And I'm not saying we have to sit here and disparage the dead. That's not what I'm saying either. I'm saying that, like, this movie kind of wants to have it both ways. And fundamentally, because it does that, and because it tries to assign blame, like, I don't, like, that's the thing, is that it never tries to assign blame. And I'm not saying you should try to assign blame for what caused her to drink, but, like, fundamentally, I went into this knowing a few Amy Winehouse songs. I was familiar with Rehab, I was familiar with Back to Black, I was familiar with Valerie. And Valerie, just because it was something that they played at work all the time in my last job. It is, I knew that she had died of an overdose. And I guess that, like, it was alcohol poisoning, not an overdose, which I guess, you know, same thing. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's one of those things where, like, I went into this knowing next to nothing about her life or anything like that. And this movie did not clarify anything for me. And again, we've talked about this before with biopics. You should not use a biopic as a teaching tool. Because a biopic is inherently going to be biased. It's going to be biased by the rights holders to whoever it's about. It's going to be biased to whoever is the, you know, what's it called? Whoever is, you know, making the movie, whoever is putting money up for the movie, whoever is writing the script and how they feel about the character, whoever is directing the movie and how they feel about the subject, not character, the subject. But these are all things that are fundamentally questioned. That you need to look for. It's a part of reading for bias, which is something that, you know, as part of the ongoing lack of nuance in discussion and the declining media literacy that we've had recently, it's one of those things where it's like people aren't reading for bias anymore. And I'm not saying that's something you have to do here. I'm saying that this is something where I should at least have some semblance of more knowledge about this person than I did walking into the movie, even if it is misguided. And I think that it fails at that. And that's a fundamental failing of this movie. Yeah, I think that we need to take a good hard look at musical biopics going forward. I'm trying to think if I know of any that are in the works. I know there's one. She's not a musician, but who was the actress in Gone with the Wind? They're doing a biopic about her with Carla Gugino. Janet Leigh. They're doing a biopic about her, but she's not a musician. I'm trying to think who else there is. And it's like, and the thing is too, I think back to Judy, the Renee Zellweger, Judy Garland biopic, where it whitewashes what happened to her. And it's like, well, what the fuck? That woman was tormented the entire time she was working. And you just gloss over it. And that's kind of where we are here. This is a 3-star movie on our rating scale, and I would say that because if this movie had come out on streaming, like, if I was watching, what's it called? If I turned on Netflix and turned it on, I would not be upset that I watched it on Netflix. I don't think this is a theatrical experience movie. This feels like a bigger budget BBC project, is how I would describe it. It feels like a BBC project with more money thrown at it. Which is not necessarily the best case for seeing in the theater. But it's also not the worst thing you can see this weekend. If you're a fan of Amy Winehouse, I'm sure you will find something in this movie to like. I'm sure you will enjoy something here if you are an Amy Winehouse fan. Because again, you get the music, and there are things like, you know, like that any opportunity for directorial flair just kind of omitted, and that's why this feels like a TV movie. It's shot like a TV movie. It's written like a TV movie. And it's like the thing that I keep coming back to, and I was kind of like flustered by it, is this idea of when she first meets the man that would become her husband. It's in a bar, and they're playing. So you got these two characters playing pool. They're playing pool while Amy's music is playing in the background. And this is the moment where they have to sell that, like, this is the man that she's willing to make every poor decision because of. The man that she's willing to, like, you know, she had this rule, no hard drugs, and sure enough, this guy, she breaks that rule for because she's so in love with him. this is meant to be the moment to show, okay, I, as the viewer, understand why she made this choice. And it feels like, and I feels like I'm reading a deposition where it's like, here's a statement of facts. The two of them played pool, and they flirted while they played pool, but it turned out he had a girlfriend. But that could have been a great scene. That would have, you know, it's just kind of just another scene in this movie. Or like, you know, even like her going to the pub for her gig could have been something better. And like the scene with her talking with her grandmother early on, very early on, with the first scene of the movie, it lacks anything. And I'm not saying the actresses are bad. I think Marissa Abella, I think is her name. I know it's Marissa. I know it's like Abella or something like that. I don't know. I should have written it down. But I had it last night because there was a giant standee outside the theater. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, it's not them that sunk this. It is any directorial flair that would have given it something interesting to look at or conveyed emotion, instead of it just being a straight, like, okay, here's the pool scene. Okay, here's them doing this. Okay, here's them, you know, getting married, and then, you know, their honeymoon. Here's, like, that scene when they're playing pool in the bar should have been an inflection point in the movie, and it just isn't. And it isn't in a way where it's like, we're doing this on TV, we don't need to do that. But you're doing this in a theatrical release that's meant for Dolby, because they did this special preview in Dolby. You gotta put the flair on for that. But we'll wrap up there for today. Tomorrow we'll be talking about X-Men 97. We'll be ending that off. And then on, what was it? Today is, tonight we'll be doing If, and then Saturday we'll be doing, I Saw the TV Glow. On, what was the other day? On Friday we will also be doing Little Kitty Big City, the new indie game. But until then, have a great rest of your week.